Aquarius, and welcome to your mid-year reading, somewhat falsely titled Easy Does It. This has not been an easy series of readings for me to do. I apologize for running late. Thank you for your patience on that. Hopefully it will be worth the wait. I have worn my I Dream in Analog t-shirt today in honor of the Aquarius reading. However, I have put on my flannel shirt because it's a little bit chilly out. Speaking of dreaming in analog, we are currently not having an analog dream at the moment. And I'm doing this video on a beautiful Wednesday morning when, for all I know, you are out working in your garden or, you know, feeding the chickens or something like that. And you're not, just because you're an Aquarius doesn't necessarily mean you're a technological person. But there are some things about Aquarius that are essential to know about the technological world in which we live, and the way in which Aquarius represents kind of a filter for technical innovation, meaning that the energy field of Aquarius is the astrological filter in many ways for the kind of basically electrification. Aquarius kind of comes into its own in the time of Benjamin Franklin and the discovery of Uranus, the very sigil of the Industrial Revolution and the Electrical Revolution. And as a person born under the sign Aquarius, you have a special resonance with this environment. And with Pluto now in Aquarius to stay, you have approximately for the next 18 years, that is a very important factor that we're going to have to be addressing. And I would just say that, and I say this knowing that, unlike me, you're probably not a daily student of the media environment and the electrical environment in the history of technology, but as your presenter, as your astrologer, that's partly my job. I have help, but I'm very concerned about these things because this is the environment in which we are living. And I don't know how people respond to my talking about electricity so much, but were I a fish and a writer as a fish, I sort of am, I would have a lot to say about water and the condition of the water. And as a person walking around on dry land, taking part in the human affairs of the environment in which we live, I have a lot to say about the way in which the environment is basically dominating us right now. And I'm sure that you are concerned about that, concerned on behalf of your children and possibly your grandchildren, because we are growing up in a world very, very different than they did. Yes, we all grew up in an electrical world, but there's something about digital that is just so totally over-involving and so totally overbearing, and we're not really aware of the extent of the problem. I'm following a presenter on YouTube, Taylor, somebody who runs her videos through a little thing that chops out all the space, so it just kind of runs on in one long sentence. But she's very smart and she's very aware of the issues. And one of the issues is the way in which all of our devices are tracking us. And by devices, she's talking about a flashlight app on your phone and the location tracking app on your location tracking feature on your weather app, and the way that any modern car basically stalks people, their behavior, their driving patterns. There's basically a recorder in the car. If you have OnStar, your location is recorded. Our spirits were not made for this. This is a totally new incursion of the electrical environment, and it is changing us. And this environment is now being described largely by Pluto in Aquarius. Pluto in your sun sign, moon sign, rising sign, Chiron sign, most likely sun or rising. And I'm encouraging people to get your rising sign for this and all of my readings. That's why we push two sign packages. So you may have another angle on Pluto in Aquarius that you can work with. I know I don't cover it in all the signs, but I do cover it in the readings that are included with this one, particularly the Awakening. And this is a big deal. This is such a fundamental change in the human condition that we are being swept along with in its early waves. And that makes it very difficult for us to perceive. It makes it difficult for us to understand. It makes it difficult for us to in any way recognize, see, feel, or experience in a coherent way. And I'm here to tell you a bit about that and about how I think that conscious adaptation is going to be very, very important. The other, besides representing the technological environment and whether you dream in analog or dream in digital, the other thing about Aquarius is that it represents our relationship to groups. And I was flipping through YouTube shorts. I'm a newcomer to this whole thing of shorts. Like, I realize there's already, like, you know, 7 billion of the 8 billion residents on the planet or have been hooked on these things since, like, the day after they were born. Personally, I have just recently discovered how much fun they are. And that's partly because I'm into animal videos. But I picked up on George Carlin talking about groups, the problem with groups, and the way that after a while, groups quickly begin to get a hat that they all wear, and then they're paying visits to you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And so there's an issue with groups, and there's an issue with groups and the electrical environment, because the electrical environment pushes people into tribes. It's like a sheepdog that herds people into these clusters of people, and this is one of the main properties of the digital environment is that it is this heavily tribalized environment that, because it is disembodied, which really means insane, you can be perfectly embodied and never have done a yoga stretch in your entire life. You can do yoga 3 times a day and be completely disembodied. And the metric has a lot to do with whether you're a crazy person. And by a crazy person, I mean someone who is willing and able to violate the mores of a society where we need to basically take care of one another, cooperate, and at least be sufficiently acquainted with one another that we're capable of being helpful to one another. And the digital environment completely subverts this, and the main property of disembodiment is insanity. And one of the characteristics of insanity is the extreme aggression that we are seeing in the world. There are things we're seeing in the world that could never have ever have worked under analog conditions the way that they're working today, known about by everyone, called exactly what they are. I'm sure you could think of a few things that I'm talking about, and also a reticence to acknowledge the existence of the body and the body's feelings. Another very serious problem under digital conditions, that anything involving the body is suddenly offensive, unless it is dangled out in front of us as some kind of a lure or as bait for something else. Then the body is okay, and there's all these, like, real cuckoo rules about, you know, what is and isn't okay, what isn't appropriate to think. And I'm proposing here that it is necessary for you to be a bit of a social scientist and to track these things, and also to invoke the spirit of the inner witness and observe yourself and decide on a day-to-day basis whether or not you want to be like that. If at the end of the day you have determined that there are some things that you didn't like that you said or didn't like that you did, the time to impose those changes is immediately, not at some time in the future, not in a week or a month. There, in a life that is reflective, there needs to be daily reflection and adaptation, and a constant process reconciliation with people, and that means honest communication, as well as some measure of humility. Before I open up your chart, and I'm going to work with two charts, one very simple, one a little bit more complex. I'm now in my 31st year of being a professional astrologer, and I never was much of the personality type astrologer where you can like guess people's sun, moon, and rising signs. Though I once did guess someone's sun, moon, and rising sitting in Taco Juan's in Woodstock. The chances of that are nearly impossible, but I did, and that was once. But I have, after writing horoscopes all these years, started to make certain observations about certain properties of the different signs that are not included in any book. And the most important thing I can say for Aquarius is that anyone with a strong Aquarius signature needs to know when you don't know. Now, this is one of the most challenging things for people. Most people are at their most certain and confident when they are actually completely wrong, by which I mean factually wrong. And this is partly about wishful thinking. It's partly about, wanting to be right, but it's also about attachment to a viewpoint. And as someone who trains investigative reporters, I have to have ways of conveying know when you don't know. This is fundamental to any form. If we think of truth telling, and I realize, Trump tweets on a thing called Truth Social. No, never there was never any truth in Truth Social, and Children's Self-Defense shows up in my inbox every day, promising to tell me the truth, lit up in pink lights and. They're pushing all kinds of completely false narratives and probably, having cocktails with the Tony Fauci. But there is such a thing as truth as an orientation. And it's very important for you to orient on truth. And the most important way, as an Aquarian, particularly with Aquarius under full activation, two different ways. It's crucial that you know when you don't know. And to know when you don't know, you have to basically be running a 24-hour fact-checking operation. It means you have to be uncertain of what you think of as the truth all the time. There's no way around that. And this may sound like a kind of imposed insecurity, and I would say, yeah, we need an imposed insecurity here in the day of the most Pluto and Aquarius device ever, this thing falsely being called artificial intelligence, by which I mean generative AI models, which are deep language systems that predict whole paragraphs and can write whole essays and all of that. That is the ultimate in not knowing when you don't know. That device is the ultimate expression of false certainty and false confidence in knowing basic things about the world. Because of itself, it can know nothing. So you have to constantly check yourself in terms of what you believe, and that means knowing when you are believing something. Very important with Neptune so prominent in your chart. So I'm going to get into the two ways in which Aquarius is under total activation right now, but let's first take a look at the solar chart for Aquarius. So the way that I do these types of readings, and that includes weekly and monthly horoscopes, it includes the annual readings, is I use a device called the solar chart. Now you think, well, this chart really contains nothing. I've only included, well, let's include a let's include a third, a third. Oh no, I've got it in there. So we've got good. So we're starting with basically nothing except for Pluto, and then I've added a galaxy called M87. I've added the Great Attractor. That's in mid Sagittarius. It's a deep space gravitational anomaly, and I've added the galactic center, which is the center of our galaxy, just to have reference points, just to show that there are tangible things non-moving, or at least relative to our time frame, not moving. And what the solar chart maps out is the basic directions of your experiences. And I could write, and if I ever had the bandwidth to do it, or there was any interest, easily write a 5,000-word chapter just on the blank solar chart. We could even take out Pluto, and we don't need it because it's only in Aquarius temporarily, only till like 2044. It says that when you go in the direction of your professional aspirations, you're going in the direction of Scorpio. When you're going in the direction of interpersonal relationships, you're going in the direction of Leo. That describes something. When you merge your partnership with someone and consummate it with money, sex, or both, you're going in the direction of Virgo. When you embrace your spirituality, you're going in the direction of Libra. All of these things have properties. They all have very important properties. And that tells us a lot. And we could write a whole story about just Pluto, you know, Pluto being in your sign for the next 18 years, and the way that it gradually made its way from through Capricorn into Aquarius. And so one thing to say here as we start the astrology part of this reading is that since 2008 out through late 2024, you had Pluto in Capricorn, and this is your 12th place. Capricorn, Aquarius, joining signs, both ruled by Saturn. Saturn's very active right now, but they're both ruled by Saturn, but Capricorn in a nocturnal way, Aquarius in a diurnal way. So Capricorn is the night side of Saturn. Aquarius is the day side of Saturn. And they're both highly responsive to structure. And when they are left in the deep fryer too long, they can get way, way overstructured. And one of the signs of that is a kind of mental and intellectual and emotional sclerosis, a lack of self-doubt, a not knowing when you don't know. And by the way, I don't mean to impose a permanent debilitating insecurity on you, but rather to provide you a tool that will disabuse you of being wrong so often and give you an opportunity to be correct more often, because the key to being correctness is validation, verification, and seeking multiple viewpoints and figuring out which among them is the most helpful one. So let's talk about Aquarius and the other thing that it represents, which is group dynamics. As George Carlin was saying, and as Groucho Marx has also said, who said, "I would never belong to a group that would have me as a member," we might ask what he meant by that. But what Carlin meant was that group dynamics, which are a factor of Aquarius, are one of the most pernicious things about the human race. And one of the reasons they're so, man, I had to philosophize about this. I had to write like 20 or 30 essays on Pluto and Aquarius in order to come up with this. But I had to think it through, right? Every time I write another 1,000 words about Pluto and Aquarius, I'm thinking it through. And the thing about groups that is so pernicious is the evasion and the avoidance of accountability. It's very easy for individuals to dodge accountability in a group environment because it's always the group's fault. And if it's not the group's fault, it's the chairman of the group or the treasurer of the group or that guy in the group or that guy who didn't come to the meeting. And then basically anything can be blamed on the group. And that takes responsibility off of the individual. And it might be nice, right? The president can always blame Fauci for the disaster of Operation Warp Speed. By which I mean the 39,000 people admitted by the CDC to have had something very, very unfortunate happen to them. It's all Fauci's fault. This is group dynamics, and it leads to bad historical and personal turns of events. And so the first thing about Pluto in your sign is going to be about maintaining a high level of self-scrutiny. That does not mean the theory of being accountable, the theory of being responsible, the concept of being responsible, but actual scrutiny, which means that you would open little investigations when something goes wrong and find out how that happened, how you said that, how that outcome manifested in some way. Why does that person feel that way? Why do you feel the way that you feel? Right? So there's a lot of words about integrity in our culture. There's a lot of words about accountability in our culture. But the problem with our culture right now is that it lacks nearly all accountability and nearly all integrity. And by integrity, I just mean, like, you know, here's my friendly little desk handkerchief. Well, that is a sign of integrity, right? The fabric is pretty strong. I got this on an airplane flying home from Thailand, and they're supposed to throw them in the garbage. But I happen to like little scraps of cloth, so I kept mine. The integrity of society has been ripped by Pluto going through Capricorn. Collapse after collapse, and notably everything becoming about money. I challenge you, Planet Waves reader, to send me one article that does not include the word billionaire. In fact, we could have a competition for who can find the most articles that do not include the word billionaire. Suddenly, it's all about billionaire, the biggest glamour of them all. Private yachts, private jets, private islands, private this, private that, and no accountability, and that means no integrity. And so you have to be the point of focus of any discussion of integrity. Whether it appears to be someone else's fault, appears to be your fault, appears to have nothing to do with anyone around you, it's very important to check, because Pluto is packing a lot of mojo. Pluto in your sign is packing a lot of mojo. And Pluto in your sign is the unstoppable force. It is going to have some effect or another. The way that you would work with that effect, the way that you would mediate that effect or moderate that effect would have a lot to do with your density level. And Aquarius has a number of different density levels available. In fact, we could say that though it's a fixed sign, one of the signs that is most accommodating of the concept of density level and the ability to have, for example, an expanded mind or a contracted mind, an expanded ideology or a contracted ideology, and ideology itself being something that is quite dangerous under Pluto in Aquarius conditions. Now, I mean, I would remind everyone that we are living with Pluto in Aquarius, but no living astrologer has ever gone through Pluto in Aquarius. And at the time Pluto was in Aquarius, at the last time, basically right after the founding of the United States in 1776, it's really the late 1770s, that Pluto goes into Aquarius, no one knew about it. So we have to read history to be able to have any even concept of what's going on. And in that time, it was acting as an unconscious process. Rick Tarnas in Cosmos and Psyche has done a rather good summation of Western history, particularly American and European, probably some Russian, I don't remember, of these transits, going back to the events at times before the planet itself was discovered. But we are largely flying blind on any form of direct observational data on Pluto and Aquarius. We've never done this before. We've never been here before in quite this way. In other ways, it seems like we have been. I have a whole discussion with Neil Donald Walsh about what I call the Atlantis quote in Conversations with God. And we have been at the brink, a similar brink to what we are at now. that brink being our entire civilization becoming the product of its technology. And so Pluto in Aquarius is a warning about that. Now, in terms of your personal relationship to technology, I'm aware that there are a good few of my readers and viewers who think, well, I'm going to avoid this as much as possible and just use a phone. And I would say that, no, actually, you're hurting yourself into the least productive and most addictive version of digital space. Unless you want one of these 12-year-olds who can make a whole movie on an iPhone, which I assure you you're not. You don't need to confirm that. But if you happen to be, you know, pound your fist and say, I am a 12-year-old and I make movies on my iPhone every day, you aren't one of those people. You can't make anything on a phone. The most you can do is maybe you can write an email. I mean, and I know there are these record-breaking people who wrote novels and write micro-novels, but what I'm saying is that the phone device is the least productive and the most addictive digital device. You need a better craft if you're going to exist as you are on the high seas of the digital times in which we are. Let's add a couple of things about group dynamics with Pluto in Aquarius as well. I know I keep saying this. I'm going to keep saying it. I do it a little bit differently every time, hopefully a little bit better every time. But there are approximately three modes of group dynamics that will be illuminated under the conditions of Pluto in Aquarius. The first of them is the attempt of the group to overpower the individual. This is the one that we see the most. This is why George Carlin said they all get little blue hats and come knocking on your door at 3 a.m. And we all know what he means. Whether it's the church committee or ICE or whatever, the things that say, okay, now we are a group, you know, we're going to come group you. The group tends to oppress the individual. The first group is the family. And the family generally does not brook individuals. This is the real problem with the group, and Aquarius is very, very much about this. And so to be an individual requires a special dedication to your personal growth, to your existence. The second, so that's group situation one, the person is dominated by the group. A lot of people, by the way, regretting having been dominated in 2021 and realize, well, maybe I shouldn't have been so dominated. Okay, second case, the individual stands up to the group. This is fairly rare. And other individuals generally do not provide that much support, but sometimes they do. I tend to stand up for any individual who is challenging the group, assuming that they're not, it's not a really, really bad moral issue. I mean, even before I understood the situation in Gaza, I saw a guy at a protest outside my old apartment holding up an Israeli flag, and it turned out to be my bandmate and guitar teacher. So I talked to him for a little while. I don't think he understands what is underneath his position. He's a very intelligent guy. I mean, I did various shades of work with him for like 8 years. But that's an example of standing up to the group of a Black Lives Matter pro-Palestine protest. Okay, that's fairly easy. He's got a lot of backing. He's got a lot of support. At the next protest, a whole bunch of district attorneys and private attorneys came out supporting the Blue Star. Okay, but most of the time, the person who stands up to the group is going to be persecuted in some way. Pay attention for those around you who are standing up and notice the dynamics when you stand up to the group, when you stand up to your family in some way, when you stand up to your coworkers. It can be quiet rebellion or a loud rebellion. Doesn't matter. The next instance is the group transforms. Some form of a group transforms. I have plenty of examples of the first two, but I cannot really think of any except the most transient examples of the group transforms. Usually it's rock bands where there's one very creative leader in the rock band or some artistic troupe. This, you know, and there are people recognized as creative and artistic leaders who are not tyrants. They are kind of a creative fountainhead. I have seen group evolutions where people go along with them for the sake of art, basically. That I would call that a group evolution, but they tend to not last long. But you got six guys in Radiohead, for example, and you've largely got, you know, Tom York writing all the words in most of the songs. And the way they do it in Radiohead is that they are all equally credited. And I'm sure that York is doing most of the, all the lyrics writing and a great amount of the melody writing, but the way that they remain cohesive as a group is they're all paid the same amount. Unlike a lot of other groups like Talking Heads and the Go-Go's, where this is a tremendous issue. Okay, so the group evolves. My point there is that the group evolves creatively and potentially financially, but we've all seen the problems here. But in any event, that's what I'm saying, it's the least likely scenario. But the fourth scenario, Lisa York brought it up, the formation of a group for a purpose. Ah, Lisa, good one. Who is assisting in leading such a group at Planet Waves. The formation of a group for a purpose. And this is one to look for. Now, you want to look for the putting on a blue hat and coming after people at 3 o'clock in the morning, but this would be a different kind of a group. Alice Bailey in Esoteric Astrology makes what I think is a crucial distinction, which is that between the group and the mass. A group is always a group of individuals where individuality is respected, where there is not only a vote or consensus, but there is a real conversation that happens, where people's views are taken on board and accounted for. And so if you're going to be in a group, that's the kind of group that you want to be in, a group where you have a voice and where you see that others have a voice and where the leader is more of a facilitator than a guru of some kind. So four basic group dynamics, based approximately between like 27 and 32 minutes worth taking notes on. These dynamics are going to appear in your life. They're going to show up. Okay, so here's the full solo chart. A beautiful thing. I love these. You know, I do a lot of, my clients' natal charts. I'm just going to fold back the data. My clients' natal charts look like this when I'm done with them. But the solo charts are just so, they're so elegant. They're so beautiful, and they are. They're as real as astrology gets. And to the extent they may be slightly low resolution, I make up for that with a lot of practice ability, and then I know which planets to include. And in this presentation, I'm only including slow movers. The fastest mover of them all is Jupiter. Jupiter, by the way, saying, be at home in your work. Be at home in your work. Aquarius is the original sign designed to be at home in your work and working at home. That's another issue. Let's talk about the full activation of Aquarius. So we've got Pluto. That's a big activation of Aquarius. But the second thing with Aquarius is you look at what's going on with Saturn. Now, I realize that Uranus is said to be the ruler of Aquarius, but it's interesting to look into how that came into being. One day, a guy named Raphael, that's his pen name, decided, oh, yeah, look, Uranus rules Aquarius. Yeah, it's very Uranian. It kind of attempted to break the system. But what I'm suggesting is that when you're thinking of your ruling planet, think about Saturn first and Uranus second. The reason you think about Saturn first is that it was the ruling planet of Aquarius all the way back to the days of Eudoxus of Cnidos, 400 BC, when this basic system was invented. And you don't want to veer away from that too quickly. You definitely can veer, but you don't want to just like radically suddenly overcorrect and like wind up in the ditch. That rant given, we have Saturn, the ruler of Aquarius, traditional, under full activation because it's in a conjunction with Neptune. And as of today, Saturn's back here in your second solar second, but really it is in the process of forming this very rare cyclical conjunction with Neptune, which I think last happened in 89, and it is changing signs, and it is in aspect to Pluto. It's going to be moving out a little bit to take, it'll be at about 4 degrees, and so there, not even, so there is a there's an activation of Aquarius by proxy in Aries. And I've written quite a bit about the Aquarius-Aries connection. Aries has important manifestations in every sign. That's why I've included the Aries reading for all the signs. However, the easiest way to think of the role of Aries and look at all this freaking Aries going on. Remember, these are all slow movers. The quickest mover in this group has got a 29-year orbit. The second quickest has a 51-year orbit. That's the second quickest. And then they get slower and slower, all the way down to Eris with about a 554-year orbit. Selacia, about 270. Borysici, about 300. Now the slow-moving action has come to Aries. And you've heard everyone, you've read before, I don't. It was me, or really any astrology book is likely to portray Aquarius as a sign about ideas. And nice. And there's something about it. Inventors are Aquarians often, or have strong Aquarius. I have the moon in Aquarius. There's quite a few very inventive people with the moon in Aquarius. But what's that really about? I would say that's really about having Aries on your third place of ideas. Now, why would that matter? Well, it would matter because where you have Aries, wherever it is, and we could look at the Capricorn chart, for example. Capricorn has Aries down in the fourth place. Capricorn self-actualizes at home and through the building of a security base. Aquarius self-actualizes in the mind and also in the community. So we have a group dynamic established with Aquarius, and we have a mental linguistic orientation associated with the third place. And Aries is there, and that's where you're going to try to find your home. Not only your home, but it's where you are the most likely to self-actualize. The most likely to self-express, to seek your personal development. AC going on here. Okay, so there's a lot of activity here. Now, I am proposing that there are three main crime scenes associated with the digital revolution. The first crime scene is Capricorn, the physical structured world, which has been crumbling, and we saw it crumble with the World Trade Center. The second crime scene, I'm not going in order, is the energy field itself, which has become a kind of a hijacking operation. When we talk about being stalked by your Ring camera, and by your OnStar, and by your smart toaster, and by every other smart thing that's potentially got a microphone in it, and Ring camera data being hacked by ordinary Ring employees, and how convenient I could get an app to turn off this air conditioner from my fucking phone, from wherever I might be. It's like, that's okay. I'll if I didn't leave it on when I'm out, I'll wait the half hour. And by the way, it now no longer matters unless you're worried about your electric bill, whether you leave your air conditioner on, because suddenly, checking ChatGPT, asking about something in ChatGPT uses like, or drawing one picture in generative AI uses enough power to charge a cell phone 25%. One picture. That's a lot of juice. The electrical environment is basically becoming a focus of tyranny. And the set, and then therefore the result is having being had on self-consciousness, self-awareness, self-development. That is a function of Aries, and this is a very important sign for you. Yes, it's meaningful for everyone. I've read it in every one of these readings, but it's especially meaningful for you because it is where you orient your consciousness. It's where you orient your consciousness. It is where you have your sense of I am. It is where you are able to focus your awareness. And there is massive activity going on here. And let's just think about Saturn Neptune as a kind of an activation of imagination, an activation of practical, tangible reality in the form of Saturn, imagination in the form of Neptune. Borsisi cautioning against belief in any form. Groups do a lot of believing. A lot of groups are groups of true believers. Beliefs are not subject to fact-checking. Beliefs are not usually based on facts. I would say it's okay to have a belief as long as your beliefs are based on facts. It's okay to have an opinion as long as you can provide with an opinion the facts supporting your opinion, and I would also add facts that contradict your opinion and let us know why you're not accepting those. So Borsisi is the fine line between truth and belief, between religion and science. These days, it seems like religion is potentially more accurate than science, but that's only because science has become a religion and people don't know it. They just think that the guy in the black frock is different from the guy in the white lab coat, or the lady, since now there's a lot of lady scientists, the lady in the white lab coat who knows everything. She's always right. Righter than the guy in the black frock. Okay. Very important factor of Aries right now is that Eris has gone through here for a century. This is the century of mass communication media, radio. Radio is coming on strong in the 1920s. TV is in development. TV is the second major stage of Eris in Aries. And I'm not talking about these things as technologies. I'm talking about these things as environments that completely define human race and who we are, what we think we are. And Eris has basically put everyone into a kind of a disembodied trance. Now, this is a mental trance for you, and I would say that you will know that you're in that trance when you are allowed to express irrational, inappropriate, or unnecessary, uncontained anger. Second, you'll know you're in that trance when you conduct yourself completely differently online than you do in person. That you would steal things online that you would never steal in person, for example. You might not you, but someone might say things online that they would never say in person. That their behavior between the online environment and the physical environment is completely divergent. Okay. Chiron is now back in Aries. I say back in Aries because it was here basically between 69 and 77. That's the last time Chiron was in Aquarius. And that was quite a time of awakening. Unfortunately, unlike the time that we're in now, this has been a time, I think, of deeper enslavement and endarkenment. And it has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of what is going on is being pitched to us as kind of liberation when really it's just an enhanced form of slavery. I mean, the notion that we are being stalked around the clock and that our data is being bought, sold, and bid for, our personal browser history data is being sold by ISPs in bidding wars, used to jack your prices up or sell you things or so forth. And by the way, the phone is the center of all of that surveillance and observation. You're not doing yourself any favors if you think a phone is the safest and best way to be on the internet. In any event, Chiron is back. It has been back since 2018, and we are now in the time of the Chiron-Eris conjunction. There was one in the spring. There'll be another one, I think, in October. And then finally, there'll be one in, I don't know, let's see, I've got my, this is, I have started the 2026 annual readings. It's very humble when it begins. It's a little stack of charts. Chiron Eris 3, March 19, 2026, right before the spring equinox. This is a moment of potential awakening. The problem is that it's not the kind of awakening that might feel like, ah, this is great, I'm awake now, this feels so good. The awakening is much more likely to be, holy Moses, this is fucking FUBAR. I can't believe the world has gotten itself into this. I'm going to try to go back to sleep. But this is not the kind of awakening that you can kind of go back on. Okay. So that is a, we are in a rare radical moment. And I do realize that since basically the transition of Pluto into Aquarius, this has been this unconscionable, insane takeover, particularly by one company, OpenAI, led by a very, very troubled guy named Sam Altman, that has led to this complete deluge, this complete hosing down of existence by this tool that is completely stealing our creativity and our individuality, which leads me to why it's so important to do this Aries work. And the Aries work is about maintaining your individuality. Maintaining your individuality. And that is another way of saying waking up to who you are as a distinct individual. Though no one likes to talk about this, and what I see sex having become is either some form of a political construct or pimping oneself. Notice, that's all we ever hear about, is you have a right to attend university naked, or it's a political construct, LGBTQIA, and as far as straight dudes are concerned, you're out. Pretty sick that anybody would go along with that. Anybody would even take that as a feel-good opportunity. This is why groups are a problem. And this whole phony group of LGBTQIA, this has got nothing in common. And furthermore, this is not who anyone actually is in real life. That big issue. And there's a few hardcore types who would like to, you know, make men obsolete. But most of us actually like men, and we have good male friends, and maybe we are a man. This leads me to sex. The sex piece is shown in your chart. Sex meaning sect, male versus female, and also the set of activities. Notice this line between this group in the 12th and this group in the 3rd. The group in the 3rd includes a point called Salacia. Salacia is the sexual experience that is right for you. Experience it's right for you. It is not a rainbow flag. The experience that's right for you is more likely to be something like that. This is actually a more accurate picture of the spectrum of human sexual, relational, and emotional experience. It's not nice, nifty little stripes like on the American flag. I mean, it's based on the rainbow flag, is based on the stripes in the American, it's ridiculous. Humans are all over the place, and each has their own unique, distinct orientation. And here's where I've been having fun messing with, you know, the right-wing lunatic fringe, because it's easy enough to mess with the left-wing lunatic fringe, but the right-wing lunatic fringe wants to solve the rainbow flag by turning everything into black and white. Again, we're going to go back to the days when there was morality, and the husband was the husband, and the wife was the wife, the baby was the baby, and we all knew who we were. And I'm saying, yeah, no. Actually, we've got this. This is the human experience. And you are either somewhere or all over on that. The problem is that you have been conditioned over and over again to be basically to cut yourself off from yourself, to betray yourself. You've allowed people to turn you against yourself. And this heartache, the most frightening of all tarot cards, this heartache is the result of that. And it leads to people being out of contact with ourselves, alienated from our families, unaware of what we actually want, arriving at age 60, 65, realizing, wow, I could have had all these experiences. I didn't have them. Why didn't I have, what now what do I do? Now I'm in my 50s, 60s, 70s. I'm not a spring chicken. I'm not a wild thing anymore. Well, what am I going to do? Well, the true rainbow flag still exists, and you have the freedom to experiment, to move around on that in a diversity of different ways. But my point being that I think that at least if you are my astrology client in any way, shape, or form, that you, in my view, which is all you get from me, unless I start quoting people, but in my view is that you have a God-given right to be and do what is appropriate for you and to be who you know you are or who you're discovering you are, and you don't have to let your external reality be defined by those external to you who are pulling all kinds of moral trips, like Nicole Hanahan wrote an article this week about how Burning Man is demonic. A newly minted moralist, Nicole Hanahan, running mate of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., ex-wife of one of the Google guys, queen of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, your TV stalking you. And she's telling me that Burning Man is demonic? There's demons there, because there's all the hot ladies, and people get hurt doing things. Welcome to the world. Hot women, people get hurt doing things. That's just how it is. So the magus comes up in the discussion of what do we do? What do we do about this purple pencil is not making any comment. What do we do about this heartache of having been conditioned by these forces? This square is a line of conditioning. It's a line of pruning and cropping and trimming back and essentially turning people against themselves. That's what guilt is. If you're experiencing guilt, you can be sure that someone turned you against yourself in the approximate subject range of where you are feeling guilt. Okay? And what you do is the theme of the magician card, the magus card, is that you put your tools in front of you. You know what you're working with. You claim a working space and you prepare to do the work. And this is the magician's staff. It's not one of the four suits. On the table are the four suits. I don't know what the proper name for this is. It could be a caduceus. I don't have a magnifying glass handy. It's some form of a caduceus. But the wand and the cup and the pentacle and the blade are on the table, and he's holding up the fifth element, the infinity sign, over his head. So this is saying claim your power, by which I don't mean power over anyone. I mean your self-mastery. Your self-mastery begins with self-awareness. It begins with self-knowledge. Once you begin to move in the direction of self-knowledge and self-mastery, you are likely to feel guilt. If you feel guilt, it does not mean that you are wrong. If you feel guilt, it means you have been turned against yourself. Following me? Okay, there's a lot else going on here. Ooh, we're on a roll. A lot else going on here. Very, very creative time for you. And again, I say this knowing that you know, you may be out in your garden, you know, harvesting your tomatoes or whatever, you know, your zucchinis. But there's a level of technological creativity here. But also, with Aquarius, a lot of creativity comes in the form of a very Gemini thing known as words. Okay, a few other bits. Great time to be setting out in some form of a commercial endeavor. Be bold about this. Pay attention for who around you has good ideas. Pay attention for who is a good example, for who is a good teacher, for who is not hypocritical in their business policies. We live in times when hypocrisy is kind of like the drug of choice. And hypocrisy is a symptom of having too much power. The nature of hypocrisy is because I can, usually followed up by because I'm so wonderful, which really justifies the action that I'm taking. Please spare yourself that. We're all very, very similar. And if you have been bestowed with either natural talent and or the personal discipline and motivation to develop your natural talent, make sure that you understand that that exists as a gift to humanity. Aquarius, allegedly being a humanitarian sign, sadly struggles to be a humanitarian sign. And I would say that one of the qualifications of Pluto in Aquarius is going to be to, this is getting written down before I forget, to re-elevate, or maybe for the first time, to elevate Aquarius to its perceived status as a humanitarian sign. Okay, I could go on. I will not. Your reading includes a lot of written readings, including the Awakening, the 2025 annual reading, and three previous years. This is designed to be a bonus if you like to read my astrology. The written reading for these did not work out. I was only 7,000 words in. I worked on it for a month. Mercury was retrograde. All kinds of poo was hitting the propeller. I've opted to do enhanced video readings, of which this has been one. Hopefully the enhancement comes along in some form that you can feel and that you can love. And by the way, you know, we live in kind of shit times right now, where there really is very little cause for hope, very little cause for optimism, very little sense of the future, very little sense of potential. It's as if all of these things have been taken from us. Yeah. Yeah, this is two cards came out. And we have to do better than that. Let that be what it is. The future has been stolen from us many different ways. And we have to steal the future back. We have to steal back our own future. Okay. On that note, I leave you. Please check your rising sign. And please tell your dog, your cat, your goat, your pet armadillo, or whoever, your painted pony that Francis of New York sends his love. Signing off from the Harshaw House. Bye for now.